You're listening to the
number one radio,
Trim Radio Network.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
You are listening to The Brighter Life Show. This is Dr. Leslie Berkland. I am your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Nicholas Brighter. How are you doing?
I'm excited to be here today.
Yay!
Looking forward to the show.
You know, I always am. This is sort of like the highlight of my week.
Episode number 9.
That's right. Oh my gosh, we're almost done with season 1. Can you believe that?
Yes, it's gone by quickly.
Time just flies when you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or so they say. I heard that somewhere, probably when I was like 5. Okay, so today our main subject is going to be about life coaching and about holistic counseling, because they're very similar and there's a lot of crossover, but they are different. So I started out being a life coach before I became a holistic counselor and then obtained my PhD in natural health, which I also incorporate in that, but we'll get to it a little bit later. But Nicholas is a life coach.
Yes.
And so we kind of divide up our practice a little bit. There's some people that feel more comfortable with a guy that identifies as a guy. And a gal, who I don't care what everyone thinks. I do identify as a woman.
Well, and you kind of focus more on healing or trauma and healing, and I'm more on goal setting and achieving.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so, my, you know,
but there's a lot of different things that.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I started out as a life coach and did that for years and years before I decided to go back to school and train and study to be a counselor and then get my PhD in natural health. So I loved life coaching. I found it a little tiny bit limiting because a life coach in general, the people that come to see a life coach are not somebody that needs psychotherapy or would need to see a psychiatrist or would need to get a psychiatric meds. It'd be somebody that maybe it could be in a relationship. It could be a crossroads in their career. It could be a crossroads in many, many different things. They've just are deciding what they want to do. Do they want to start?
I would actually say that a lot of people, especially with those two things, will very often have both of those two things. If they have one, they have the other. Very likely.
You've observed that.
Yes.
So, and I do agree. Sometimes people have, they're just blocked creatively, or they feel like they're spinning. They're on that hamster wheel. You know, they're kind of repeating themselves. Maybe they're bored. They have dissatisfaction at work.
And a lot of them will have, they'll know the answer to or the solution and on some level. And so the solution for them, it's not necessarily identifying the answer. It's sort of like uncovering what the problem actually is that they need to overcome.
Right. And a life coach is very much a guide. It's like, okay, this is what you want to achieve. This is, you know, uncovering or discovering, you know, why you're dissatisfied at work. You know, let's talk about what in particular makes you unhappy.
Now, since after you did life coaching, you then learned about holistic health?
Well, I did holistic counseling
Oh, okay.
And that was a separate university than where I received my PhD in natural health.
So with natural health and holistic counseling, is that something that you're, are you doing your life coaching a little different? Because I know you do trauma. Is that something?
That trauma is not within the field of life coaching for me, or okay. at least it wasn't. That's not what, when I was solely a life coach, that was all I did.
That's more the holistic counseling?
Yes, it is more of the holistic counseling, okay. and more of the natural health because they go together.
Okay.
If somebody came to me, I didn't really have the credentials or really the experience to give somebody good enough advice if they had some trauma, where I do now.
Okay.
And I've been, my clients have been successful. At least they say they have been. So that's all I can hope for. And now, as a life coach, you can tell me if you felt this, but I became a little overly invested. Mm-hmm. So I would see a client, I would have my charts on the client. I would know that they were coming in. Usually it was either in person or a Zoom call. And I've even met people at coffee shops. You know, we just find a quiet little spot and, you know, spend an hour together, you know, trying to figure, you know, how the person can benefit.
Maybe. I know what you're referring to, that you're investing some of your emotional energy into someone and wanting them to follow through on some things and see them improve in their life. And so that's the investment right there. And it can make you, it can make you care about their life's progression more than you probably should.
I think I did, because maybe. I would take it home. Mm-hmm. I would take it when I, you know, was maybe restful at night, thinking, oh, you know, I hope this person gets that, does well at that job interview.
I mean,
you know,
emotionally more than you should.
Yeah, but more than I should, of course.
In,
a life coach
cares. In regards
to
how it affects you emotionally, not so much in regards to, I don't mean too much as in you're in their life too much. So I don't mean that. I mean, and how it affects you emotionally.
Well, I probably was a little too involved, because I would be thinking, you know, oh, I know they're going to do great. I know that, you know, we've really, you know, met this goal, and mm-hmm. and if it's meant to be, they're going to get this job, or they're going to mm-hmm. get the raise, or they're going to go back to school. A lot of people will do some, you know, additional training mm-hmm. because they know what they have to do to achieve a promotion. And so it's just actually taking those steps. What's blocking that person from taking the extra steps that they need to fulfill their desires?
So I would say, I've felt that. I do think that whenever I've been, I'm always focusing on how to improve myself. And so I think early on, maybe I was not mature about that, thinking, you know, if something didn't happen the way I wanted, that I'm right. And why don't they just see things my way? But what I came to learn is that I had to learn how to be a better coach, be a better guide.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just to help them. I would say the most common reason that people came to see me, or you know, when I was just doing life coaching, would be relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a guy that wanted the gal, or the gal that wanted the guy, or why won't he listen to me, or, you know, not really knowing the difference, not being an active listener. So something kind of interesting that I was just thinking about before we came on is you, Nick, you know, assisted me at one of, it was actually a counseling session.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the session went fantastic. The person was so excited to go back to work and start this new program that I sort of I let her realize that that's what she needed to do, so that it was basically her idea. And then when it was, and thank you for bringing us, you know, the waters. But knowing that you're a life coach, I just, it was interesting what you said to me, you know, following. Do you remember what you said to me?
It would have been something in regards to listening.
Me?
Yeah, yes, I believe yes. So.
Okay, that. Well, okay, so what Nick said was, you know, he wasn't really listening to my client. He was listening to me and felt that I was a little too chatty, maybe, and I wasn't quite listening enough. So as a life coach, we need life coaches because we certainly are far.
And it was a constructive criticism, which I know is sometimes it's even constructive criticism can feel like,
I was not insulted at all.
Okay.
I appreciated it.
Okay.
I needed to know that because I can start just, you know, I'm verbose.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's not easy to get feedback.
You know, so it's all about listening and then asking probing questions so that the person can really, see. It's just mm-hmm. so obvious at some certain point. I would say some of my more disappointing life coaching sessions are with individuals who really were just there because they wanted somebody to say yes. Yes, you're right. You know what? That person's a jerk. You're right. Then they can go off. It didn't matter the hourly fee was. They just wanted a yes person. That wasn't rewarding for me personally. I know that they didn't gain any help from me.
I would point out, though, that I know some clients you've had some disappointment over that I believe that they actually had good outcomes. You just don't have any feedback on what their outcome is.
That, you know what? That's really interesting because I do make my feedback calls, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes I look at it as a good thing. Like, mm-hmm. okay, they're going off and they're going into the world and now they're ready, you know, because they feel like they have the courage.
They're over whatever hurdle
right.
they had.
Yeah, they're off that hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good thing. And of course, I'm not the first person they think of, like, hey, I'm going to give, you know, Leslie a call and say,
like, hey, you that really helped me out. Yeah, you're not going to. So for a lot of those people, you're not going to hear that in the tendencies to assume, oh, they didn't like my help.
But all in all, I just felt so rewarded. I mean, mm-hmm. it was really a rewarding career. And if anyone who's listening, you think you are a life coach or you think that you really want to be a life coach, you know, how do you know if you'd be a good life coach? You know, maybe you have a degree in communications or you have, you know, you're just good with your friends. Everyone comes to you. They want your advice. They mm-hmm. like your opinion. They take your advice. You know, you just seem to be somebody like the go-to person, you know, an all-around reasonable person. And you have an interest in helping change somebody's life towards the positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may want to think about becoming a life coach. Now, with life coaching, you can go to, there's several different schools.
And I would say, personally, I think communication is one of the most important things for a life coach, in that I think everyone has something to offer some people.
Yeah, but if you want to make a career, I'm talking about mm-hmm. if somebody who's listening to the show wants to make a career and become a life coach, you know, active listening would be definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that's why I thought it was funny that you said that. I liked it, though, because, like, I need to stop talking except for now. So, I mean, some people are just, they're just intuitive. They just have, you know, they can really sense the person and what they need. They're just, you know, and you have a desire. Mm-hmm. You have a desire. So to become a life coach, you can simply go online and look up life coach certifications. You know, how do I become a life coach? Some courses are very quick. Some courses are 6 months to a year. Sometimes
I know that I would recommend anyone that does that to take a course that has some type of template for them, so that they have a format to follow when they're new.
Yes, that's always good. Always a questionnaire. Like, you know, I have a questionnaire. A life coach does not have to follow the HIPAA laws. And so in my practice, I have the forms that are just basically the rules and regulations, the HIPAA rules and regulations based on the HIPAA Act. And so I sign it and have them sign it because I want them to know that you know, nothing goes beyond, you know, our conversation.
So you follow the HIPAA laws with your life coaching practice?
Yes, I do, because I want the people to know that they are in a safe place. They are in a safe place, a safe space.
I thought
space.
I just heard you say a moment ago that the HIPAA laws don't apply.
They don't. By law, mm-hmm. I don't legally have to do this. I do own because it is the moral and ethical thing to do.
Okay, I have a, it essentially be a privacy policy, you know, to make them aware of, you know, what's private.
Right.
And what they can expect.
Same thing. However, I mean, that is sort of how we're going to have to compare our notes here.
Yeah,
maybe yours
them,
is better than mine.
Well, I think the HIPAA thing is probably maybe a little more, they're probably about the same.
But you just can't.
Pretty much I don't tell anyone anything, a client.
Well, I even go a
little. Or if I do, I'm not going to name the person.
Oh, God, yeah. I always change the names to protect the innocent if I'm talking about somebody. So.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been occasion where I've called somebody and said, okay, I won't say your name or your gender. I'm going to go on a show. And, mm-hmm. you know, can I share this? And they'll say yay or nay or, you know. Usually that's somebody that is a friend that I've been, you know, coaching.
Well,
you know,
a lot of clients are really goal-oriented and their life. I know you focus more on a lot of, you know, healing, let's say, the healing side. But a lot of clients are focused on their career and they're already in a positive place and they're just sort of looking, you know, how do I get to the next step?
Yes, that's what you absolutely, because in general, a life coach is not looking for somebody that, you know, has, you know, a personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not your client. Your client is somebody that is either at a crossroads or it's all about moving forward. Mm-hmm. In a positive manner, or something that's going to generate something positive in your life, you know, by setting goals. So it's not about going back in time as much and hashing through all the stuff that may have happened to you that is making you so unhappy and figuring that out. It's not except coming up with some epiphany. It's really, I'm for the most part healthy. I just am at a crossroads. I'm irritable. I don't know why I have this persistent irritability.
This is an example client you're talking about.
Yes. Or, well, you know this, but I'm just talking because I'd like to talk.
So I think we might have skipped around. Did we go over the difference between, you know, compared to a counselor?
I haven't even started. Should I start on that? No.
Oh, well there's our segue then.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. So I guess we're done talking about life coaching. But again, I would really like to encourage somebody that thinks that this may be a career for them, that it truly is rewarding from my experience.
I do think that it applies to more people today than
I was just reading online because mm-hmm. I was kind of curious about how long has life coaching been around.
probably has always existed in some form.
Okay. Well, where they call it life coaching, and it's actually a job where people come to see you. I mean, more in
maybe
that
not
format.
That long. Maybe not that long. I don't know.
According to what I read, it sort of all started in the 60s. It was where somebody might go into a company and do some coaching, you know, for the employees so that they can, you know, better get along, have more effective, you know, outcome.
Like some team building consultants.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that was, you know, and that sort of went on. I don't even know what the person, I think there was a name. Of what they were called. Then about 1980 is when life coaching became popular. And then about the year 2000, it started really gaining in popularity. So 2000 to current time. So people are opting to see a life coach because they just don't like the formality sometimes. They just don't want to go see, you know, a psychotherapist because they can't figure out why they're so irritable or why they're blocked creatively. You know, but they do want some help. So who are they going to go to a life coach? Plus, it's affordable, too. So you're not spending, you know, $400 an hour like you may with, you know. Life coaches, by the way, they the fee is anywhere from like $70 to $150 an hour. Seems to be sort of the going rate. You know, some are a little bit more and some are a little bit less. So it just depends. And if you are looking...
Well, I would say on that, the fees actually, they range really large. So if someone comes across, you know, like $1,000, that number's out there.
Yeah, you would not. No, they probably, I don't know, that's ridiculous. So in my humble opinion, I should just say that. So life coaching, I think, is fantastic.
Well,
I loved it.
Niche coaching is becoming really, really popular. And it is something that I think that everyone will, by necessity, that is in life coaching currently have to move to.
Well,
at some point.
That is really interesting.
And I think that actually they should.
Because
they haven't. Yeah.
It is very niche-y. Not Nietzsche. Sorry. That was not even remotely amusing. So it was, except to me, it is very niche, you know, niche. Because there's a stress management coaches now where somebody can specialize in stress management. They can specialize just in career coaching. They can specialize in work, you know, to work out, you know, physical coaching.
It's becoming common. I guess technically a lot of people would put them in a category as a consultant and a lot of people would put them in a category as a life coach. It's sort of like a combination of the two. So
I agree. Yes. So now let's talk about holistic counseling. So I think that a lot of people just simply need to know, and I didn't know this years and years ago, that the word holistic, it simply means addressing the whole person. So life coaching and holistic counseling, there is a crossover. A lot of crossover. But you are treating the person as a whole person.
I know that you've had some clients where I have to ask you, is this a life coaching client or a holistic counseling client? Because I don't know.
Well, even with my life coaching, I tend to
work
do
on
like
healing.
Holistic life coaching, you could say, even though it's holistic counseling. So sometimes I don't even distinguish because I'm so used to doing that because I know how beneficial it is. If I'm working with trauma recovery, it's things that are out of what a life coach. So I can also go back in time. Mm-hmm. A life coach is all about moving forward, a little bit of going back in time. I can go back, especially if we're working on nutrition. You know, I want to know how long, you know, they've been eating a certain way or how long they've been drinking alcohol, you know, excessively, how long. So there's certain things that I need to know and to treat them. And then, you know, it's their body. So, you know, what they're putting in their body, their physical body, if they're getting any exercise. So there's that component. And then they're spiritually, you know, how are they spiritually? You know, and then their mind, when you know, some people are like, well, how can you separate the spirit from the mind? And the mind is more.
And that would be the consultant like side that I'm referring to that I see people kind of moving towards is your spiritual guidance. It's kind of like a spiritual consultant.
That would be a niche. Yeah. Some people are.
Yeah, that's your niche.
Okay, that's really interesting. But that's not mine because I do everything. It's all I can't separate that. I don't want to separate it because I want to treat people that I see holistically.
Okay.
So it's body, mind, and spirit. So the mind is what you know. Basically, you know, it's what you think, how you've come across these beliefs. You know, your soul doesn't create these beliefs. So it's your mind. So we sort of put all of that together and everything is being considered. In other words, if they're specifically.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they're specifically working on a relationship, you know, and the relationships aren't going well, it could be with a family member.
Or consider their career.
Or whatever it may be.
Considering everything.
I consider, okay, we're not going to 100% today focus exactly on your career. Yes, it's something that we talk therapy, we talk about it. But you're going to do better at making decisions about your career if your mind is in a good place, if your physical body is healthy. The healthier you are, the better you're going to make wise decisions.
The healthier you are physically, the healthier you are spiritually, the better decisions you can make
mentally.
In your relationships and your work and social life.
Right. So even though we may be talking at a particular time within the counseling session about one area, I'm always considering everything.
Okay.
I make recommendations. And so I will recommend that they even start out, if there's somebody that's not, you know, physically very healthy, by just, you know, walking 1 mile a day. Doesn't sound like a lot to many people, but 1 mile a day is better than nothing. And that's a way to get started. And you can even, you know, just walk. Everyone can walk for 1 mile a day, I think. Unless you can't walk, but I'm just saying.
Now, do you try to get them to, you know, see that, yes, I agree that would be beneficial and, you know, get them to agree to do something that they want to do because they see the benefit? How do you go about getting them to follow through on a commitment of theirs, let's say, to...
Well, the fact that they walked in my door...
Or follow through on your recommendation.
The fact that they walked in my door, they want some... And if they... It's all about baby stepping. It's not like, okay, you're going to go join a gym tomorrow. Okay, you're going to, you know, do memory courses to improve your mind. Okay, you're going to, you know, go to church and not miss one. That's everything is baby stepping, thinking about in time, you know, what made them happy. Let's find your joy again. Because once you are healthy in all those areas, then we can better tackle and you'll be better at achieving the goal that you want. Especially if somebody is just irritated all the time. They don't know why. They're irritated with a family member.
And actually, something just occurred to me, because you've worked with a lot of trauma. And a person that has had trauma for a while, they could be at a place where they haven't achieved a lot of their goals in a while, and simply getting to the point where they're healthy and achieving goals of theirs is going to make them start feeling confident. If they're not feeling, you know, if they've lost confidence, and feel like they can progress in life again. And they might think that, oh, these things that I used to, you know, be long-term goals of mine, they're achievable again.
Yes, exactly. Brilliant. That is brilliant. Now, with trauma, people that I see for trauma, it's a little bit different because I have very specific trauma techniques. I make a determination of which technique I believe will work for that person after I assess their, you know, how they are physically and, you know, how their mind works. Mm-hmm. So, and then we, and their spirit, you know, what their beliefs are. But then there's very, very specific trauma techniques. And especially I would say the biggest hurdle with trauma is getting somebody to not identify everything with their trauma. Sometimes mm-hmm. it gets, because it's so part of your existence and part of your entire world, or you're just, everything about you is trauma.
I was thinking in my head when you were saying the thing that most difficult gets, and I'm thinking like, it's got to be something to do with the mindset. And, you know, or their belief system. And so I'm unsurprised to hear that essentially identifying that this is what I am. I'm this person that has this problem.
Right. And we do work through it. In fact, I find it probably most rewarding when I work with people that have some trauma, because it's something I can actually see. I can hear it. I can see it. I can feel it, you know, when they have this a breakthrough, and then they want to help everyone else that has some trauma. Because, mm-hmm. you know, people with trauma will talk to a lot of other people with trauma, and then they just start, I mean, it's actually pretty extraordinary, you know, what happens. And it's just something that I enjoy. And there's certain techniques that, you know, I decide which technique, and I don't have to use one. I can use multiple techniques on somebody that has some trauma, because some traumas are one event trauma. Some traumas are multiple trauma. Some people are enduring trauma as they're seeing me. So how to stop it from continuing?
Now, how many are at a place of hopelessness? And I ask this because they're walking through your doors, I'm guessing means they don't think the situation's hopeless.
Somebody that's at the level of complete hopelessness, mm-hmm. or let's say apathy, they probably wouldn't even have the strength or energy to even look online, find somebody that, you know, can help them.
Okay.
You know, they just don't. But some people just are so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they just need that boost. At least that's what they think. And then when we get into you know, the trauma, and then working with them spiritually and physically, and then working with their trauma and their mind and their beliefs and what they know. And I find that rewarding, because I see what happens, and I see a little bit of joy coming back in their life. A little tiny bit of joy. So I think that we should talk about vibration, because now that is an area that is not, I'm not an expert on mm-hmm. vibration. I've read a lot about it. I think of it more in a metaphysical term. When I do work with people on spirituality, mm-hmm. that would help me to have a better understanding.
I think from the sounds of it, I'd say you're halfway there already. So,
well, thank you. But how would I deal with mm-hmm. somebody that has a very low vibration? Well, let's talk about vibration, because in case there's a listener that hasn't listened to our other shows, we always end conclude our each episode with talking about vibrations at that vibration level, meaning that the entire world, our planet, our universe, mm-hmm. everything that is known and unknown has a vibrational level, not unlike quantum mechanics or even the string theory. There's always a vibration. And so we as human beings. Hey, does our spirit have a vibration?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I would say that your base energy level is essentially your spirit's energy level.
Okay.
So, or vibration. So when a person says vibration and when a person says energy level and they're talking about in this context, they're referring to the same things. Maybe some people would consider them different, but it's the same idea.
What if your physical body isn't healthy? Will that affect your vibration?
Well, how it works is that if your vibrational level is lower, then your body would be less healthy. That's the order that it works, not the other way.
Oh. So, okay, and you're not inclined.
I would say that I believe, although there are people that I respect and they're experts on this topic that are pretty sure of what I just said, but I do believe that there are exceptions where, tragedy can, an unexpected, unavoidable tragedy can happen that can maim someone and is going to make them less healthy. And I believe that that would probably lower their energy level. But it's not guaranteed to.
Okay, so I just have a question for you. There's a gal. She has written books. Mm-hmm. She is a spiritual healer. Mm-hmm. She talks about vibration. She talks about, awakening. She talks about eating healthy. And she did have a cancer scare. Mm-hmm. She did have some surgery. I mean, she's cancer free at this point, and it has been beyond the 5-year mark. But I think that, you never know what's going to happen. But right now, her health has declined because she is so depressed.
Yeah.
And it's declined to the point where she cannot function. She has bed sores. She can't get out of bed.
Do you think before ever getting cancer, do you think her energy level, where was it? Do you think?
I don't know, because I just know that she was somebody that considers herself a spiritual healer and a healer.
What opinion did other people have of her?
I think that they had a very good opinion of her. And I think that she had a nice clientele. And so she just sort of spiraled down. And it threw me off, because you just don't think of somebody that is semi-known, mm-hmm, in the spiritual healing community. Semi. I mean, I wouldn't say that I could say her name and anyone would actually really recognize the name. But it's just very sad, what has happened to her. And it threw me off. Because I thought, wait a minute, she's still kind of advertising herself, and she doesn't have any teeth, she doesn't have any hair, only because her diet, she won't eat.
Yeah, I would say that the answer to those are approaching the limit of my understanding, and something that I am currently trying to find the answers for, and because I'm interested in learning those answers. I do know to a large degree, if your energy level is high enough, that the mind, being of a significantly higher energy level than the body, has the ability to heal the body. And I think everyone knows, at least intuitively, and some people consciously to a large degree, that a person's mental state can significantly affect their physical state. So, for example, when a person, like you mentioned with her, once they become depressed and hopeless, if someone's in the hospital and they're optimistic, then they're probably going to have a good outcome. And if they're depressed and hopeless and have given up on life, then they're going to have a worse outcome because of that.
Okay. It just saddened me that she could be what I believed was a high vibrational level. Mm-hmm. At least I believe that. And then to be able to drop so low. So my real question is, can you be at, let's say the scale is, we'll go from like 1 to 700, which is...
Mm-hmm. That's the Dodson scale.
So the Dodson scale, 700 being like, no
way. 700 would be, an example of that would be Jesus Christ.
Okay, so Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's say that she was...
Gandhi would be like a 500.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So, is there a certain point where you're up high? Let's say you're not mm-hmm. Gandhi high, but you're high. Let's say you're in the 300s or high 200s. Can you drop because of things that happen?
Can you drop
that far to despair?
Oh, yeah. There are people that have been higher than 500 that have dropped all the way to below 200, and 200 is the point where between positive and negative.
Okay, what do you think mankind is? If you took the entire global population.
It averages 200, although my personal opinion is that it averages a little bit below 200.
How could let's say I'm at 200,
mm-hmm.
or I'm at 190, or whatever. I'm at, you know.
And 200 is not a horrible place to be in. It's basically neutral.
Okay, so let's say I'm at a neutral place, and I consciously want to raise my vibration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do that. What does that look like? What do I actually do?
Okay, so there's different things you would focus on at different energy levels, and there's different ways to do that. So let's see, at 200, well, first I'd start a little lower, and things that would apply to, you know, someone that is at the hopeless point. So someone at the hopelessness point, you want to get them, give them your sympathy for their situation.
Okay.
And agree with them that others are to blame, and get them so that they raise an energy to the level of anger of, they're responsible for my situation.
I was not expecting you to say that.
It's probably the one level where, in my opinion, it seems a little backwards, and it seems something seems a little off or wrong about that, I think.
But I understand if the level of apathy, hopelessness, you want to actually get to anger.
You want to get to anger.
And to get somebody angry, they have to blame somebody, because if they blame themselves, they might stay in hopelessness.
Exactly. Like, that's basically what it is. Like I'm responsible for my hopeless situation, and I can't get myself out of it. It's hopeless. But yeah, blame other people for their situation to get them to that point.
Then, and hopefully they're not there very long.
Yeah, I would say ideally you don't want the whole world at anger.
Right, or so, victimhood.
Yeah.
I'm the victim, everyone else is.
Anger is one of the... It's one of the most dangerous places to be at, although there is a more dangerous one, which would be pride.
Is that above anger? Do we have to go to pride before we can...
We do have to go to pride. Or I should say that pride is potentially more dangerous. Usually anger is more dangerous than pride, though. So pride's usually not dangerous, but it's potentially the most dangerous.
When I think of pride, I think of maybe somebody that is incredibly, you know, arrogant.
When I'm referring to the pride above anger, I am referring to arrogance.
Okay, so a level of arrogance. And mm-hmm. when somebody is prideful, do they have something to be arrogant or prideful about? Are they even honest?
No, it is arrogance.
Okay.
So it's not for people that would make a distinction between a positive form of pride and a negative form of arrogance as the difference between them. No, it's mostly unjustified arrogance.
Okay, but that's still above anger.
Yes, it's above anger. So because the anger person, they're at a level where they're blaming other people for their situation, but they don't have the belief in their self in themselves yet.
Okay.
They're just angry at other people or the world for their situation. Then you want to get them to the point where essentially where they can believe in themselves, which at first has to be a little untrue, which is the pride.
Okay.
And so that sort of, once you get to the person angry, it's sort of, you start encouraging them at that point. Encouraging their ability in a grandiose way, maybe.
Okay.
And so it's going to make them a little prideful.
So now this is...
Basically give them compliments. Give the person, once they go from hopelessness to anger, then they need compliments. They need some victories to get some pride.
And now, are these people that need guidance or to get out of their low vibration?
Overwhelming majority of people at these energy levels is where the most of the world is perpetually at.
And also the energy levels
that are a little bit above this.
Is that why mankind has sort of remained the same forever?
Yeah. There is an explanation that the energy level theories works on orders of individuals and groups all the way up to very large groups like the whole world, but of importance is countries.
Okay.
So when a country's energy level raises from hopelessness, if it's a very poor, what used to be called a third world country, very poor, corruption everywhere. What happens when that country raises up an energy level out of hopelessness?
They become angry.
Okay. And they go to war. And it's an inevitability.
And so this is a circle that just keeps on going over and over. There
is a way out of it. It's just on the international diplomatic scene, people just have to be aware when you raise hopeless countries out of hopelessness, they're going to be passing through a warring stage and blaming others. They're not going to be like, oh, thanks for helping us. They're not going to be grateful. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So now we're almost to the good. We're almost to the positive side.
Okay. Good.
So
because we have like about 5 minutes or less. So we have to end the show on a positive note.
Pride is right before the neutral point. Okay. So the pride person, you want to get them. Essentially, show them
compliments.
Give them some victories.
Okay.
Basically, get them to have some victories. Get them to achieve some of their goals, and this is when they get to courage. And courage is the neutral point. Courage is the neutral point where a person can look at their life and go, "Okay, what do I actually want?" And now I actually have the courage to do things about it. And courage is also the point where a person can start to accept that, okay, maybe I am responsible.
And at that point, can they start raising their own vibration without having someone else involved?
I would say for most people, that is the point where if they focus on learning how to raise their energy level, then yes.
What would be one step? Let's say tomorrow I want to raise mine a little bit.
Oh, and I would also mention that courage, the neutral point, is also the point where any danger from, you know, the anger stage or the pride stage, it's generally a person at courage and above is generally really safe. They're not dangerous
no
people.
War.
Yeah, they're not.
War-free.
No, they have courage.
Zone.
They have courage, but they don't have anger. And they don't feel like, they feel, that it's also the point where they realize they're responsible for themselves. So it's self-responsibility. So, I mean, they might go to war, but it would be a nation that thinks war is, you know, morally good. In some, I don't think in today's world that would happen once a nation reaches the 200 point.
So we're not there yet because we're all constantly going to war. We're constantly telling people that they're a victim. We're constantly telling them that they've been, you know, someone else is responsible for anything that happens, you know, in their life. My friends will sometimes say, oh, it was that person. It was their fault.
Politics operate on... Now, politicians are... most of them are 300s, 400s, entry-level people. But politics themselves operates below 200. So it operates at right around, I would say, upper anger.
It sure seems so, that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a fear and anger and blaming because the anger energy level is also the same vibrational level of blame.
Okay, you know, we're going to have to talk next week more about this because I have a lot to think about. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I have a clearer understanding about vibration levels.
Be careful there. I might get prideful.
No, these are just giving you some compliments, so you won't want to go at war with somebody. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. You have been listening to the Brighter Life Show, and I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I'm here with...
Nicholas Brighter.
And good night.
Good night, everyone.
Stay tuned for an extra special message from Dr. Leslie B.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Leslie Berkland, and this is a little bonus episode for you, a little mini bonus episode for you. I'm going to give you a few easy ways to make your life a little bit brighter. We're going to start with learn to laugh. Research has revealed that laughter really is the best medicine. It's a great form of physical and emotional tension releasing. So it's pretty wonderful, and especially if you have a big belly laugh, it's really good for your body, and it also boosts your psychological and social and spiritual health. So I'm going to say learn to laugh. Also, get what's troubling you off your chest. Can confiding one's innermost troubles lead to improved health? Sometimes we don't want to burden somebody with all of our issues, but the answer is absolutely yes. Research has found that people who confide their troubling experiences are profoundly and physically relieved of the stress caused by traumas such as death or divorce or some health problems. Maybe you've lost a job. So if you can find somebody that you trust, you can just get your troubles off your chest. I love this one. It is digging around in the dirt. Gardening has been proven to lower blood pressure and to relieve stress. It's been found to improve and balance your coordination. So I think I'm going to start digging around the dirt by gardening. It sounds wonderful. Next is make exercise a regular part of your day. And most people, when they think of exercise, they think, oh, it's just work. I have to go to the gym. It's something that I don't necessarily want to do right now. But if you just make 30 minutes a day, if possible, if you can make 30 minutes a day, and it doesn't have to be 30 straight minutes. You can actually divide up the time. You can make it 10, 10, and 10. just 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there and another 10 minutes, or you can do 15 and 15. So, yeah. So, moving on, write down your feelings. This is known as journaling. I think a lot of people have heard of journaling, but it's also known as scriptotherapy. I like that. I wish I had coined that, scriptotherapy. And by just writing down your feelings, it can help you handle with emotional wounds, illness, and other problems. You know, by writing your thoughts down just on a piece of paper, you may feel more in touch with your own feelings. Because sometimes we just don't even want to recognize our own feelings. And so it helps by just writing it down, putting it away in a drawer. You don't even have to show it to anyone. Sometimes you can go reread it, and it really does help. Practice balance in your everyday life. What this really means is do things in moderation. So, you know, you don't have to do something so that's going to occupy all of your time. It could be a little bit of exercising, making sure that you get adequate sleep. You know, just find the small pleasures in life and revel in them. You know, and don't let work overtake your life. Oftentimes, that is something that we do. We just get so involved with our work, and then we bring it home, and we need to break away from that sometimes. Another thing is don't forget to pray. Many studies conducted over the past 3 years have found that religious commitment may improve your health. The studies have found that people with firm religious commitments are healthier and less likely to be depressed than people who don't share a religious conviction. Something else is helping others. You know, develop this feeling of kindness and love. You can do something like, you know, help your elderly neighbor, you know, with their groceries, or teach a young child, you know, how to read. Any kind of volunteering, you know, even at your local elementary school. So become involved in your community, you know, within the realm of what you can do. If you have some physical challenges, you can just make phone calls for an organization, or writing letters to family and friends. You know, we've kind of lost that art of writing letters. Next, allow yourself to feel. Sort of covered this, but, you know, it's okay to be angry. It's okay. It's okay to be frazzled, confused, or even sad. And, you know, if you have somebody that you can vent to, somebody that you trust, always someone that you trust, and you can just get rid of these negative thoughts, get it off your chest, and it can ease some of the frustration that you may feel. Something else is learn something new. You can enroll in an art class, learn a foreign language, ride a horse if you can, take a class and just something that you find interesting, learn some public speaking, go to the pool for, you know, aquatic exercising, you can meditate, just something that maybe that you haven't done, and you may, you know, in time, by keeping busy, feel that you're just happier. So I love this. This is take time to relish the simple things in life, you know. Forget your to-do list for a moment and just learn how to relax. You know, you can bring a friend with you and you can watch a sunset, you can color or draw, even making paper snowflakes with a child, brew some tea, sit in a comfortable chair, or listen to just some wonderful piece of music. It could be classical music. And I'm going to end with call a far away friend. You know, in this hectic world, we do everything via Facebook or Instagram or some sort of social media outlet, or we text our friends. But just actually making a phone call to a far away friend, hearing their voice is really wonderful, and it's truly worth the effort, because friendship spans just years, and it truly will enrich your life to call an old faraway friend. So just some things to consider. I just want to thank you for joining me, and have a brighter life.
Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. You take the red pill, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
That's right. Take the red pill, and I will show you how deep the rabbit hole goes every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight here on the Prim Radio Network.
This is
it's
your
the
last
Red
chance.
Pill Reality Show. See you then.
After this, there is no turning back.